A reading from the Gospel of Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. Welcome. So glad to see all of you here. One of my big pleasures of summer, I'm kind of surprised it's the end of July already. I really love summer. But one of my biggest pleasures in summer is to walk outside right at dusk, which is late now, right? But it's the beautiful sky, the reddening sky, but also the stars start coming out. We live out in Fluvanna County, so we're kind of far away from the lights of Charlottesville, and you can just see so many stars, especially on a moonless night. And it's just so awe-inspiring. And it reminds me of a book that I like to read where it has a quote that I like that comes to my head when I'm standing there in this field. It says, "When enchanted by a starlit night, we find ourselves thinking, who then made all this?" So in case you haven't been keeping up with the space program, which would be me, I haven't been keeping up with it, but this week I had a woman that had been part of NASA in Maryland and had alerted me to something that is the most complex scientific expedition ever attempted, which is being called the civilization scale mission to understand the universe, will blast off in 983 days. So you have a couple days to get ready. The James Webb Space Telescope, which is 100 times more powerful than the Hubble Telescope, will be launched by NASA on March 30th, 2021. So it's three stories tall, and it will orbit the sun 1 million miles away from Earth. It's going to take 3 months to get the 1 million miles. Orbit the sun to intercept infrared and ultraviolet waves, while at the same time blocking the light from the Earth and the sun and the moon so that it can see those waves. It's really a time machine of sorts, so it's a little bit hard to wrap your mind around what this telescope is doing. It will be able to detect the ancient light of the universe, when the first galaxies were born after the Big Bang, the first generation of planets, and kind of the stellar nursery where the stars were born. We'll be able to capture the dawn of the cosmos and witness galaxies as they are assembling. The James Webb Telescope is hoping to answer the big questions that are at the heart of our existence on Earth. Where do we come from? Why are we here? How did the universe start? And are we alone? So as I thought about this, I thought, you know, we could find all of that out about all of the stars right after the Big Bang and how the galaxies are being assembled together, but it still would not answer the question of love. The love that is at the very fabric and heart of our real existence. Through space travel, we may be able to find out the what and the how of the universe, but God is the who and the why because of love. Love is what brought our universe into being and us with it. So in the book of Revelations, Jesus reveals that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, meaning that God exists from the beginning of time and is time through the end of time. The beginning of the universe was the Big Bang of love. We would not exist without love, nor can we exist without love. It is a power that cannot yet be seen by our most powerful telescopes, but can be felt by the human heart and soul. Love is a wavelength unseen by the human eye, but has birthed millions of galaxies, as well as hope and compassion for ourselves and for others. So one of the mysteries is, how does this love of God pass through us to each other and into the world? And there is an interesting kind of warp and woof to Jesus' ministry that we read in the Gospel of Mark today, with the hordes of people who are usually following him and the disciples. We see it here where the disciples have been sent out in pairs, in two by two, to cast out demons and anoint the sick. When they return, Jesus invites them to come away to a deserted place by yourselves and rest for a while. So in the Bible, a deserted place is a place where God cares for us. Like the Israelites wandering in the desert, Abraham in the desert, Jesus in the desert, Elijah. It's a place of compassion and identifies the source of compassion, which is God, the Alpha and the Omega of compassion. The birthplace of compassion is God's heart, which is Christ. So something that is very important about this text is not included today. The lectionary skips 19 verses in this Gospel of Mark. These verses are about the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus praying by himself on a mountain. In the expanded version of these scriptures, including those 19, we see Jesus go into the desert or a mountain or in a boat to be alone with God before he returns with compassion to the people. In this text, he is inviting the disciples and us into this same rhythm, to go to the source of love and compassion so that we can love our neighbor and ourselves. Jesus is telling the disciples that they are not the generators of love or the power that they are spreading. The great commandment starts with love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, because that love is what will fill you with the love for your neighbor and yourself. Now, Henry Nouwen pondered this and said it was one of the greatest mysteries of life, how the unconditional love of God can make it through the filter of our conditional love through to our neighbor and ourselves. But our conditional love is most glaring in how we treat ourselves. You know, growing up as a Christian, I heard this message, or I gleaned this message. It may not have been the message that was given me, but that treating myself well would be selfish. And I believed that making God proud of me meant working until I was exhausted, never saying no to the demands of others, and treating myself like a drill sergeant would if I was at basic training. This did not serve me well, as you could imagine, and did not serve Christ well either. This is not the freedom of the Christian. I was neck deep in what they call the four P's: performing, perfecting, pleasing, and proving for Jesus. I believed that what Jesus required of me was constantly striving for perfection so that the world would be a perfect place because of my efforts. So the message that I missed was that Jesus Christ already sacrificed and redeemed the world so that I didn't have to. It was not my job. By hearing the gospel of grace preached, I learned that God loves me and wants me to thrive in love so that I can love my neighbor. I cannot by myself follow this command of God, and am in constant need of the life-giving mercy of grace, love, and compassion that is at the source, which is God. The freeing message of Jesus Christ is what we hear in this gospel today. Come away to a deserted place by yourselves and rest for a while. I hear an invitation to what I have come to call stewardship of my body, mind, and spirit, the very elements that I am asked to use to love God with. If I look at myself through Christ's eyes of compassion, I can see that all of my striving actually leaves me just tired and self-pitying, and that God has given me is one precious life to live. Good stewardship of ourselves is not a plan of salvation. Don't hear me say that. It will not make you more righteous or moral or worthy, but it will give Jesus more to work with when he needs an instrument of mercy, love, or compassion. And if we're to believe the statistics on the possibilities of life on other planets, we are a very rare species indeed. As the psychiatrist Gerald May mused, "Mysterious as it may be, there is something wonderful at the heart of our existence, and it is about nothing other than love. Love for God, love for one another, love for creation, love for life itself." So today, my prayer for you is that you may hear the call of Christ today to come away and rest in him exactly the way you are, believing and trusting that the God of the universe came to us in a human body to save us from this deep longing we have to be loved by loving us eternally. God answers the question, "Are we alone?" with a resounding no, never. And the question, "Why am I here?" is answered with, "Because I love you so much that I sent my only son to die for you so that you can know my love and experience my never-ending compassion." Amen.